Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to this ordinary council meeting, the Shire of Plantagenet. So I want to welcome you all here today, Tuesday the 25th of November 2025. This meeting is being audio recorded in accordance with Regulation 14I of the Local Government Regulations 1996. I also point you to the disclaimer and emergency procedures on the lead-in pages of this document for this building. The Shire of Plantagenet acknowledges the traditional custodians of our area and their continuing connection to the land and community. We pay our respects to all members of the Menang Noongar community and their culture, and to elders past and present. Move on to item two. We have nine members present in the room today. We have six members of staff in the room and one online. And we have no apologies, obviously, and one member of the public present as well, and no previously approved leave of absence. Move on to item three. So public question time. The responses to the previous public questions taken on notice are in the agenda and are there for everybody to read and understand. Move on to item 3.2, public question time. Is there a question from the public? Thank you. If you could come forward, state your name and who you represent, and if you could, yes, if you could ask your question, and then if you have a copy of it, that would be helpful. You have.
My name is Paul.
5 minutes. Yeah. Sorry? You have five.
My name is Paul Gregory Neal. I live at Moat Road, Barangaroo. My first question, I will have information that will explain it better. But number one is, will the Shire Council ensure that the Chief Executive Officer directs the Health Officer that her primary function is to the health and well-being of the residents of the Shire of Plantagenet, rather than her department's propaganda, negligence, or otherwise misdirection in current health issues, if not why not? And two, Japan, South Korea, and now a number of other countries have conducted post-COVID mandated injection studies that have remarkably consistent indications of increased cancers within the anti-COVID drug DNA injected population, while similarly uninjected citizens have not shown such increases in cancers according to their studies. There's about six countries at least. It is now some months or maybe years since Council adopted its current stance of aligning with the State Health Department, which by now is deplorably negligent. Will the councillors acting with each of their own integrities to properly evaluate accurate information regarding the council's current direction and its potential impact on children, pregnant women, and under 40-year-olds within the Shire of Plantagenet, if not one?
Paul, if I can just interrupt you there for a second. So we had a series of questions on this item about 12 months ago.
I'm asking them now. This is a different situation. The world has changed a lot in the last months.
I understand. It's the same.
I'd rather you interrupt my question.
It is the same questions, and the subliminal questions that come along behind. I'll just caution you that it's inappropriate. Okay.
I'll caution if you like.
Thank you.
The last question is, can the council confirm that the CEO is acting in the very best interest of the residents, health-wise? And they are my questions about this from the CEO.
Thank you. Okay. We'll take those questions on notice, thank you, and they will be responded to in writing as you've seen in the previous part of the agenda today. We move on to disclosures of interest. Deputations. There's no other deputations from the public, but I will take a presentation from Councillor Clements, who's already noted that. So he'll go first and then any others.
Thank you, Mr. President. Kenneth Arthur Clements, OIM, Chairperson of the Plantagenet Historic Society Incorporated. As requested, the Plantagenet Historic Society has forwarded their assistance funding requirements to the Shire of Plantagenet. The funds requested are $30,000 for this year. The following 2 years will be further discussed. In 1966, the Shire of Plantagenet placed a demolition order on the first police station and stables. The newly formed Plantagenet Historic Society asked the Shire for permission to restore both these buildings. In 1971, with the assistance of over 80 volunteers, the refurbishment was completed. These two buildings are the first buildings in Plantagenet to be placed on the state heritage listing. The Society now maintains three buildings that are over 150 years old and three buildings that are over 100 years old. In all, there are 13 buildings, gardens and surrounding grounds that the Society maintain to a very high standard. The Plantagenet Historic Society is very frugal with spending and are realistic in the forward financial requirements based on historic spending and future requirements. As you're all aware, the basic costs have risen. Power, water, petrol, building materials, etc. The Society is slowly replacing aged and worn out equipment. Now the volunteers are forced to bring their own chainsaws, whippersnipper and extension saws to secateurs. Volunteers are now paying out of their own funds to buy various items, approximately so far $3,000 this year. Because of insurance liabilities, the Society must now pay for tradespeople to do a lot of the things the volunteers used to do, example, electricians, plumbers, tree loppers, security requirements. An example of what the Society now has to pay, approximately $10,000 per annum for a person to clean the gutters. We used to get this done free. Unfortunately, the person who used to do it for free died. On top of the extra expenses this year, we will see the Society pay over $80,000 in tree lopping, mulching, driveway maintenance and expansion of grounds, all of which were not budgeted. I've read the Shire staff's opinion on what the Society should receive, and the Shire would be considered anything over and above the normal that may be needed to be funded. This is all very good in theory, but the Society knows this just does not always happen or may take years to occur. A very expensive example of this is the request the Shire made to re-oil the shingled roof on the first police station and stables. The Society was told it could not arrange this as it was the Shire's responsibility. The quote the Shire had to do the job was approximately $6,000. The people the Shire contracted to do the job have managed to damage both roofs so that they now leak, and the ongoing cost to repair these is probably in the vicinity of $70,000. This must be done as soon as possible to stop further damage to these state heritage buildings. The Society also asked for building drainage to be investigated and fixed. After 5 years of waiting, the Society paid for the expensive new piping and did it themselves. I can go on with other Shire responsible maintenance projects that the Society has done, because maintenance on old buildings cannot wait. The Plantagenet Historic Society has asked for a conservative $30,000 to cover this year, all things going well, as this is what it has been calculated is going to cost to keep the museum buildings, gardens and grounds to a standard everyone expects. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Clements. Is there a further presentation? Yes? Yeah. Okay, so you have an additional...
Do you need my name and address again?
Sorry?
Yeah.
I think we know who you are now, yeah. But if we can have a further 3 minutes, thank you.
Thank you. My attendance to this council meeting with my statement and questions is inspired by the Shire Health Officer following a recent conversation I had with that Health Officer. or my attempt to do so, which was constantly interrupted with her statements that the conversation is finished if my comments included her deemed political, I take it, contrary to her own or her department's beliefs, propaganda or whatever, entirely based upon her perception of my accurate statements, comments, queries or rights, quashed as a resident at her whim. May I suggest that perfectly honest citizens ought to be able to enjoy open conversation with the bureaucracy and especially health and environment bureaucrats, responsible citizens, or supposed to be, with due diligence, environmental bureaucrats, misaligned, without being restricted by propaganda, inverted or negligent views. We are all responsible citizens, or supposed to be, with due diligence and respect for our community, rather than covering draconian, if not financially advantageous, negligence. Are the council aware that the Japanese government study of some 18 million people or so following trends after the COVID injections, showing that high risks of deaths of the vaccinated culminating significantly around a 100-year-day period following such injections, which, whilst unvaccinated, did not. South Korea and other reputable countries with similar coinciding conclusions. The report indicates significant increases in pancreatic, breast, lip, oral, pharyngeal, leukemia, uterine and ovarian cancers. Breast and leukemia cancers should be of particular interest in this area since they can still be linked to Western Australian government's prolific past advised spraying of dieldrin chlorpyrifos and such like in this great southern area, impacted upon orchards, horticultural stock, environment and people to this day. As council and officers are aware, dieldrin in consumable meat can be allowed to the stated relevant standard for dieldrin in meat, including lamb or beef, is, I understand, currently 0.2 milligrams a kilo, eggs 0.1 milligrams a kilo, and as with bioaccumulation, if eggs are that high, the chickens will be far higher, having lived longer. Poultry shouldn't excess soils exceeding 0.06 parts per million.
Mr. Neil, you've done your 3 minutes. Thank you.
I've done 3 minutes?
Yep. Thank you.
Okay.
We're happy to take...
I've got
notes
of possible malfeasance.
Thank you.
...to serve upon the CEO, and it includes Mr. Maureen White, and I'm making that available to the public.
Thank you. We'll move on to disclosure of interest. We have a number here today. The first one from Councillor O'Day, item 9.4.1 on the Community Grants Program. Member of Mitchell House Art Centre and the Plantagenet Historical Society, the Tourist Bureau, it's an impartiality interest, and she'll be staying and voting for that item. Another one from Councillor O'Day, membership of the Turf Club, for item 9.3.3, with the licence agreement, and she'll be staying and voting for that. Councillor Tyra, item 9.4.1, the Community Grants Program. Business is a member of the Mount Barker Tourism. We're staying and voting. And Councillor Clements, 9.4.1, the Community Grants Program, Category 4 round application, chairperson of the Plantagenet Historical Society, and will be leaving the meeting. Is there any further disclosures? Okay. Is there any applications for leave of absence? Item 6. No. We move on to item 7. Item 7.1, the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 21st of October on page 6. Is there a mover? Councillor Bell and Councillor O'Day. Is there any dissent? Okay, that's passed without dissent. Item 7.2, the ordinary minutes of the council meeting held on the 28th of October. Is there a mover? Councillor Sheard. Seconder? Councillor Brown. Is there any issues or dissent? No, so that's passed without dissent. I have nothing in item 8 for today. So we move on to item 9.1, the proposed adoption of a new planning policy for water tanks and stormwater management. The recommendation is on page 12. Is there a mover? Councillor Bell, seconder. Councillor Liebeck. Is there any issues? Councillor Bell, you'd like to speak?
Yeah, just one question. With regard to water tanks, do they have to come with an engineered certification rather than just planning approval?
So, Will.
Thanks for the question, Councillor. Generally, water tank suppliers provide that engineering certification off the shelf, so it's easy for any landowner to produce that paperwork from the supplier when they're getting a building permit.
So you do need that
for a building permit, yes. It doesn't require it for planning approval, to which the policy relates, only the next stage development of the building permit.
Any other issues with this one? Any dissent? Okay, items carried without dissent. Thank you. Move on to item 9.2. There's nothing in that item today. So item 9.3.1, the monthly financial report with a recommendation on page 16 and 15. The recommendation on page 16. Is there a mover? Councillor Liebeck, seconder. Councillor Fraser. Are there any questions? There have been a number of questions, of course, on this one, but also the list of accounts coming on to follow this item. No other further questions? Is there any dissent? Okay, it's carried without dissent. Thank you. List of accounts, the 9.3.2 recommendations on page 19. Is there a mover? Councillor Brown, seconder. Councillor O'Day. Again, number of questions asked and answered, and thank the staff for those answers. So very detailed and fills the gaps. Is there any dissent? Okay, that's carried without dissent. We move on to item 9.3.3. The Turf Club Licence Agreement on page 23. Is there a mover? Councillor Bell, seconder. Councillor Sheard. Quite a detailed document in the attachment. Is there any issues, any dissent? Pretty happy with it? Okay. So that's carried without dissent. Thank you. The move on to item 9.4.1, the grant program. Councillor Clements leaves the room at 17:19. Do we have a mover? Councillor Liebeck, seconder. Councillor Bell.
He didn't move with an adjustment.
Sorry?
He was
going to move with an adjustment. Oh. Okay, so who moved it? Councillor Liebeck and Councillor Bell. Okay, so but you wanted to make a change?
Yeah, I just wanted to move the motion with one change, that column 2 and 3 be removed from the Mount Barker tourism application. The reason being that I believe we need to work with the board over the next 12 to 24 months to develop a sustainable business model for the future.
So, Councillor Bell, are you happy with that change?
Can I just hear that again, please?
So, I want that move the motion with one change, that column 2 and 3, so 26, 27, 27, 28, be removed from the Mount Barker tourism application.
The effect is we only fund them for 1 year.
For 1 year, yeah.
So happy with that? Okay. Is there any discussion? I'll just open up for a little bit of discussion on this one. Is there any discussion? Any further discussion?
Is there any Councillor particular Tora? Reason why there should be this question when they've been in business for quite a while and they've actually been quite sustainable, and I don't see why there would be any problems?
So you're speaking against the item?
The Tourist Bureau being only funded for 1 year when I think they've actually shown that they are a resilient and sustainable business for many years. I don't know. I don't understand why the questions come up.
So, Councillor Liebeck, I might just get you to respond to that one.
Yeah, just look, I do agree that the Tourist Bureau does play an important role in the community. I just felt personally that we weren't really presented with much of a strategic direction, considering it would have been a $150,000 investment over 3 years. I would like to see what happens over the next 12 months, and then maybe we can come up with a better outcome for them, in my view.
Okay, so what I should have done there was asked if anybody else wanted to speak for it. So you've actually summed up there, my mistake. Is there anybody else that wishes to speak against that item? Councillor O'Day.
Can we move to suspend standing orders?
Okay, so Councillor O'Day has moved to suspend standing orders. Councillor Bell seconds. All those in favour of suspension? That's carried 8-0. Thank you. All right, we'll have an open discussion now. So the two items have been removed, or the two numbers have been removed out of 26-27, 27-28. And we've had a bit of both sides of the discussion. So let's just make it orderly. Is there anybody else that wishes to speak against the item as it currently stands with those two numbers removed? Anybody against that? Councillor O'Day. Microphone, please.
Well, the reason for suspending the orders is to try and have some discussion, because the reason I think we keep having the tourism organisation being in this running around is because they have no certainty beyond 12 months, but we've by default offered certainty to other groups for a long period of time, the Historical Society being one of those. In fact, I suppose the reason we ended up with this particular policy was to try and tidy up which organisations did need to have some certainty over a time period. I'm assuming that the intent is if a community group defaults for whatever reason and not meeting their KPIs, we can say no to them, because that has been the concern, I suppose, or the differences between different groups, in that why does one group seem to not have to meet particular standards or report, and others seem to have to jump much higher hoops than others? And the Visitor Centre or Tourist Bureau has been one of those when they have been providing a service that is open 7 days a week. Some of that is providing a social service in terms of the buses and ticketing that had been dropped by others. So there's some question about that versus other organisations who get funded and are not necessarily reporting back to us. So it's some of the thing about reporting back to us. And the three-year planning is to give some certainty to groups. And if we say yes and then do not give them some certainty, I think that's, you know, not helpful, particularly when we would be talking about something that is helping stabilise the management and employment, and you have volunteer group trying to guarantee that they have some support for their service, and they are providing a bit more service than we recognise and acknowledge, and particularly around that bus safety and things.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to speak in support? Councillor Bell.
Just a bit of clarity. By removing the following 2 years after the next year, there's nothing to say they couldn't come back and ask for some money, is there? We're not ruling any future funding out.
Yeah.
Is that where you're coming from, or?
So, Mr. Murphy first.
Yeah. Councillor Bell, that's correct. That the effect of the motion would be that the funding for this first year, the next financial year, and then take the opportunity to use that time to work with them as to what their funding need is for the future, and they could reapply in the next years. If you look in the report on the item, the amount that's been asked for versus the amount that's been recommended is substantially less, as in what's been recommended by the staff is less than what they've asked for. What they've asked for is significantly more than what they've ever asked for in the past. And if you recall, last financial year's Council increased their funding again significantly from what they'd asked in the past. So the concern from the staff, at least, is that there hasn't been a conversation about what it is they actually need to operate successfully. Certainly no objection to giving them security over time. They do a good job. However, there hasn't been an established set of objectives within the organisation as to what their focus actually is going to be, whether that's visitor servicing, whether that's marketing, and how they fold in and fit in with the local and the regional tourism organisation. So I think that is quite a big question in this area. So it's from our perspective, from the staff perspective, funding them for 1 year gives us time to do that work with them, particularly with a completely new board and new organisation that's changed significantly and has done over several years. So it just gives us time to help work with them to find a more sustainable way of going about their business.
So I'll take Councillor Fraser first. Thanks.
Can I just ask then, why has the officer's recommendation changed from when this was written and presented to coming in today?
The officer's recommendation hasn't changed. I'm just responding to Councillor Liebeck's adjustment.
So the officer's recommendation is to do the 3 years?
That was before us here. Councillor Bell.
Yeah, just to follow up, I think Councillor O'Day made a point, you know, these people need some certainty. That's what I was worried. The only thing I was concerned about, I've got no problem with giving them the funding for this year, as long as they're aware that we'll have their back in the following years. But they just simply have to reapply and prove to us that the need for the funds. So, yeah, I've got no problem in seconding the motion.
Thank you. Councillor Tyra.
I think that's what's quite frustrating for these groups is they've put their applications in. It's a new funding round. They've put their application in, but there's been so many caveats put back on them that haven't necessarily, I guess, you know, I can understand why they'd be frustrated. It's like, which is very similar to Ken's presentation on the Historical Society, is the same as the Tourist Bureau. When you start saying, please, please do a three-year, which is a lot of work for these volunteer organisations as well. I can understand them just getting very frustrated, and I'd just be cautious moving forward that we have a process that's a lot more seamless for these organisations.
Okay, I'll just take one at a time. Is there anybody else other than you two that want to speak? No? Okay, so I'll take Councillor O'Day first.
Just on that, with the tourism needing to have some idea and wanting to work with them with the strategic planning, we have an agreement and in the budget, and it was in the last meeting, the arts, culture and heritage planning is going to happen in February, which I would certainly hope is going to be able to work with the Historical Society, Mitchell House, and probably with the tourism group as well, because they're promoting arts, culture and heritage, that if we're stopping one, we probably should be saying, well, they're going to need to engage, and why would we say no to one group when there's two other groups where we should perhaps be doing exactly the same? And if there's no reason why we, I mean, in the same token in saying we approve it for 3 years, but there's nothing to say that we can't stop it and that they don't automatically get it if they're not meeting particular criteria, which we haven't necessarily said they have to meet criteria.
I'll allow Councillor Liebeck.
And I just want to clarify, Councillor O'Day and Tyra make really, really good points, and I'm certainly not suggesting that we don't fund the Tourist Bureau beyond this point, but what I'm suggesting is we could perhaps have a better outcome working forward than just this blanket three-year sort of... We're just throwing money at them for 3 years, but what's that going to look like after 3 years' time? We have no real idea of what that's going to look like. So if we could get a better outcome for them next year, they reapply for 3 years and they've got all their goals lined up, what they want to achieve, I personally would feel more comfortable with that. I think that would be a better outcome for the community and that organisation. So just to be clear again, I'm certainly not suggesting we don't fund them, but I just don't think this is the correct way forward.
All right, noted. So I'm going to sum up here, but we'll have a comment as well. Having been on council now for quite some time, I've been seen the various iterations of the tourism organisation in town, and it's gone from being, you know, strong sometimes, not so strong other times, as is the way of most volunteer organisations. And I get that it's a fair bit of work to put these things together. The difference between that particular organisation and the rest is the operational side of it. So the funding that's going for specific operational things as opposed to the others that are funding specific things. So this is not saying that there isn't some certainty there. The money will be there. We've funded them every year in the last 16 years that I've been on council, but they've met some benchmarks. So without some clear understanding of what the future's going to look like with tourism. Now, all I'm saying here is that tourism's important to the region. It for a whole range of reasons. We'd like to show off our area and brings dollars into the area, obviously. I would prefer to see the staff working with tourism to make it as strong as I've ever seen it into the future. So I guess that's where I sit on it. I'm not against funding them, but I'm saying we must get alongside the organisations, and it's not just tourism either, but other organisations in town to strengthen where we possibly can to give the best of outcomes for the community and the region. So that's where I sit on it. I think the other organisations are different. This one stands a little bit out there on its own. So I support the motion as it stands. Now, it's time. I think I'll take one more. Thank you. So Councillor Bell moves to reinstate standing orders. There's a seconder. Councillor Sheard All those in favour of reinstatement? It's 8-0. Thank you. We'll move straight into a vote. So those in favour of the motion as it stands.
As it stands?
As it stands, so the motion that has moved was that the two items came out. The two figures came out. That was the motion that was moved. So that's the motion that currently stands.
So what Josh has put forward.
Councillor Liebig has put forward. So all those in favour. So the count is 4. And those against, count is 4. So I have a regrettable position of having a casting vote. And with that casting vote, I will go... Sorry?
Casting vote.
Yeah, so 4-4. Yeah, so those four were 1, 2, 3, 4, and 4 against. Okay, so the vote is 4-4. Are we happy? Okay. And the casting vote will be that I support the motion as it stands. So that's how it will be. Okay, so if we can get Councillor Clements back. Please. Councillor Clements re-enters at 17:37. There's no notices of motion, item 10. There's no urgent business at item 11. We move into a confidential item now. So someone like to move, we close the doors. Councillor Clements, a seconder. Councillor O'Day, all those in favour of closing the doors? That's not unanimous, thank you, 9-0. We're now back in open session. So the announcement is that on the confidential item for the acquisition of lot 701 Albany Highway, Mount Barker, that the staff go and get a licensed valuation and bring that information back to council for further consideration. Okay. Go back to the main agenda. And that completes the agenda for today. So item 13, closure of meeting at 17:53 or 5:53 p.m. Thank you very much.